you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to The Ooze.
I'm on the cage, every foul wicked spirit in the host, The Ooze.
20 minutes, Dead to Rule of Eight, on The Ooze, right now.
On The Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
To really tap into have a serial current
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show. Thanks for tuning in, folks. I'm TC Downey. With me on the air is actually my good friend and, dare I say, comrade, Jason Sorrell. Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Good to have a Saturday night where I'm available to do a show.
Yeah, that was excellent, actually. I guess I should do a little spin. Dan Dredd has, for whatever reason, chosen for the time being to, I guess, step back from the co-host spot, and he's hoping he'll come back in September. So for the next, I don't know, a few weeks, it's going to be the Xenophiles. Either you're going to find me talking to myself for as long as I can stand it, or, given someone like Jason here who is willing to pop in and take a run as a co-host, that'll work too. But, ultimately, Dan said he had some other shit going on and needed to take a break until after September, and so I'll go ahead and carry it along the flag without him. I mean, all things considered, man, when I originally lost Matt, I started thinking about who I wanted to be the new Saturday co-host, and I kind of came to this conclusion that if it wasn't Dan Dredd, then I would just carry the show myself. So, given the circumstances as they are, I'm going to try to do so. So, not to get too far out of whack here, but I'm trying to figure out, Jason, you're on air, right? So, okay, the other number's Zach's then. That makes sense. Here we go. I wanted to kind of start the show off by quoting a little piece of a book written by Gurdjieff called, I'm trying to fucking pronounce this right, because it's Beelzebub's Tales to His Grandson. I always get that wrong. I want to say Beelzebub, but I know that's wrong. It's just my laziness in language, and it's something that I've really been working on correcting. I think a lot of our missights in life happen because of our laziness in language, our inability to, work hard at pronouncing things correctly and understanding what words truly mean, really gives us a slanted perspective. So, not to labor that point too much, but I'll just go ahead and read this quote. And the quote, it goes like this. And all cosmic truths become known to everyone on those planets because those beings who, by their conscious efforts, learn some truth or other, share it with others, and in this way, little by little, all cosmic truths become known to all beings on that planet, whatever may be their aspirations and degree of self-perfecting. And I think this is a perfect quote for what I'm doing with this website. So, I guess I should kind of get into that a little bit, not to throw this off too much here, but Gurdjieff had this idea that it didn't matter what angle, which path you were taking to the top of the mountain, the view was all the same and the destination was all the same. You were always looking up and you were always heading towards the top, and it didn't really matter what methods you use to get there. And so the This whole show tonight is going to be an announcement for my new website, eminentmind.info. There's a link in the description of the show page for everybody archiving and also for those that are listening to the slot now. TC Downey's, I don't know, man. I guess I've grown up. I've changed. And, you know, what, 30, almost 35 years that I've been on this earth, a lot of things have changed in my mind, and I think that I've really reached a level of maturity. And hopefully this website will reflect that. You're still with me, Jace?
Yeah, I'm still here, man. I'm digging the idea. First of all, I wanted you to, you know, go ahead and say whatever you wanted to say about your site. I've been kind of on the inside of this since the beginning, you know, watching it develop. And I know right away that with your first post on this website, there was a lot going on there in the language you were using. There was a lot going on there in the context you were expressing things. I think this is going to be a good deal. And I'm being told right now that I'm echoing really bad.
Here, let me see if this helps. Sometimes when I turn down your volume, that changes the situation. So try it again.
There's still an echo.
Is there?
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking BTR, man. It's because you got that weird call-in thing or whatever, I'm guessing. I don't know. I thought at one point in time it was my actual headset, but it doesn't seem to really make a difference. So the same positioning I could use the week prior, I'm using right now, and you'll be echoing where before you weren't. So hopefully that'll just kind of work itself out. In the meantime, I don't even know where to start really with this website, other than there are different types of people in this world, and this is actually something that you shot to me yesterday. You shot something that was really interesting to me, and I don't want to really spoil it because I think that that by itself is its own thing and it's cool, but there are different kinds of people in this world. And one type of person is this person that Gurdjieff actually talked about a lot in his writings, and that was the Sly Man. The Sly Man had the ability to, in a hallway full of doors, had a knack for picking the right door to go through. It wasn't that he was prominently, I don't know, psychic or something like that, but he just kind of saw the way that things were and had a natural understanding for them, and so it gave him that advantage to kind of picking the ripest fruits on the tree, so to speak.
Right, the Sly Man seems to have innate ability to reduce the process to its most basic or get into a situation where the just the most direct route to whatever the goal is, the Sly Man seems to find that route and ignore all the extraneous stuff that might be included in a traditional path.
Right. The Sly Man... the Sly Man's actually where Gurdjieff came up with the idea for the fourth way, because he took all of the exercises that were being used by the three traditional ways prior and kind of cherry-picked them for, the stuff that was most effective and actually growing. So I guess part of this whole website here is eminent mind, the idea of an eminent mind, the idea of a higher mind. There are not a lot of people that are out there seeking this type of mentality, but for those of you that are, what I have found myself on the internet is a convoluted, almost kind of cult draw that comes with these people that are teaching this higher mind, so to speak. A good example is Tentacle Boy, King Calamari. Another really good example is the Temple of Set. There always seems to be one man with some kind of, I don't know, ego gratification needed, and he does, he gratifies his ego by making this promise of higher understanding, of higher intellect, and that's something that I thought needed to be done away with. We've talked a lot about developing, we've talked a lot about developing a school, so that's what Eminent Mind's about. The website itself is a, it's a school for people who are interested in developing the higher mind.
Right on.
I don't know if you're still echoing or not, but I'm getting text messages that are saying you're echoing and whatever. I'm gonna go ahead and pop Zach on and see if we have the same deal here. So, hey Zach,
what's
going on? Or I want to see if you're echoing too. So just talk for a second.
He is.
Okay. I don't know if I'm echoing or not, but Jason's echoing really bad. I can barely understand what he's saying. It's like the echo. Yes, everything he says comes back threefold.
Okay, so Jason's echoing, you're echoing. What the fuck? That's what I'm
I'm pretty sure it must be on your end, because I think you're the one that's not echoing because you don't have a headset on, but, you know, this has happened several times. If I'm echoing too, I mean, I'm on my cell phone.
Yeah, he's on his cell phone too. Here's the thing. And what's interesting, like I was just saying, it doesn't really matter so much how I position my microphone or what I turn the volume down real low. It doesn't seem to matter. What works one show without any problems, the next show we have those problems again. So.
And you're using the exact same setup?
Yeah, exact same setup. Everything's the same. So I know that it's not... And not something that's me, as it must be BTR's interface. So what I'm going to try to do here is call in on my cell phone and see if that eliminates the problem.
Sounds good.
In the meantime, Zach, I'll go ahead and mute you again, man. Unless you got something you want to say?
No, you can go ahead and mute me, man. I'm working. I'm just calling in.
Okay.
All right, so TC went ahead and muted his set, and I don't hear myself echoing on my end anymore. If you're in the chat room, if you let me know if you can hear any echo, that'd be great.
All right, I'm back. Am I echoing to you, Jason?
Right now I don't hear an echo.
All right. So, there we go.
And you're on your cell phone now, too?
Yeah, I'm on
the echo,
cell phone.
Yeah, the echo went away, man.
maybe it's just a Skype BTR interface issue with the headphone being muted. It's just no problem now. Who knows, man? Skype's kind of weird.
Before you go on, man, the only other issue we're running into now is that you sound garbled. So it's going to be one way or the other. Either you sound great, but everybody else is echoed, or nobody else is echoed, but you sound staticky.
Well, maybe that'll clear up in a few seconds here. I guess I'll try the headphones again, damn it. All right, hang on a second.
Any better?
Yeah, you sound great.
Alright, and what it,
I
what about
think you? I might still have a slight echo.
Yeah, I'm trying to adjust to get rid of that problem. Sooner or later, it might work this whole thing out. Let me see if my settings here on Skype are... Sometimes I got to turn the mic volume down or something.
I'm waiting to hear from the other room whether or not there's an echo. I know I can hear a little bit of an echo on my end.
Yeah, I see what's going on already. It's definitely picking up your sound, Jason. Which means that maybe I just need to hang up Skype and call back in and see if that makes a difference here. So, we'll get it right sooner or later. In the meantime, get everybody to just take the opportunity to check out, click the link for eminentmind.info. I'd like people to call in with any questions or any commentary. The first most important thing about this website is that every idea is to be challenged. Every single one. Okay, it looks like...
I was going to say, TC, before you call out and or log off and call back in, if necessary, speak your piece and then mute yourself. And then whoever speaks after you, should the echo seems to go away.
All right, well, I'll try and do that then. I'll try to dance back and forth between it rather than calling in, but it seems like everybody in the chat room is saying that it sounds better now, so I'm assuming that it was just a passing thing or something. I don't know. All right, this microphone's, like, super sensitive. It's crazy. Anyway, yeah, I'll just bounce back and forth, and so if Jason echoes for just a quick second or whatever, I'll go ahead and put him back on, you know, put myself back on mute so that we can, you know, talk this out. But, all right, so we talked a little bit about what the Sly Man is. It is my opinion that the Sly Man can develop the ability to kind of move trends. He knows what words to say to accomplish, whatever his end is, whatever, you know, the goal of his particular focus is. That's... shit, this whole echo thing's got my train of thought all fucked up. So, where was I? What were we talking about?
Well, we were talking about the Sly Man. We were talking about how part of this development of a higher mind, and the Sly Man idea is that you, like you were saying, you cherry pick from different routes. You cherry pick from different philosophies. And you look for the most direct route or the most accessible tools, and partially it's going to be relative. Every person is going to have a different view of what their own inner Sly Man needs from whatever it is they're seeing. But they don't necessarily throw any ideology or any philosophy or any path out the window. They look at everything and see what's best for them to use. And then they also recognize what's going on with a path that isn't necessary, that's extraneous. So by reducing it to its most bare minimum, it's not making the work easier, because you might still have, you know, some serious trials involved in the processes of development, but it's, you know, it's trying to find the best possible way, at least for you. So, you know, the Sly Man does what's necessary to reach his or her goals.
Right. One of the things that I actually was kind of trying to start putting out there and expressing is that I'm going to be talking about things in a very specific way. The terminology that I'm using, if you find it in bold, there is a lexicon page, and I will be, I haven't honestly gotten all the definitions up for the stuff that I've already done, but I'm trying to catch up with it to get it all to that point where it can be understood. But you'll find that I'm using specific words in a very specific way, and I'm doing this to kind of eliminate any misunderstanding of what I might be trying to express. Like, I use the term spirit and possession in a very, very, very specific way, because I believe that the two are interconnected and very real, but not in a metaphysical sense. I'm trying to think of how exactly to explain this, but I guess I should start by talking about what I think the word spirit means. You'll hear people often talk about having school spirit, or being in the spirit of a holiday, or being very spirited about something. And what they're talking about is a degree of passion and zealous and concentration upon this one particular idea. And then from there, if you take that idea, when that person has school spirit, or they're in the spirit of something, they're actually possessed by that idea. If that makes sense. So I'm not really sure if I'm defining this in the right way. I'm usually better at typing these things out than talking them out, but either way, I really wanted to, you know, open this up, make this kind of the first ground for people to kind of challenge my ideas and force me to refine what I'm talking about more.
And I think that's key to what you've got going on in this site, that it's not an attempt to set a definition or set a standard per se. I mean, there's already been a high level of development going on with these ideas. And you've reached a point now where with these ideas, you're expressing them with the intent that others help you refine these ideas through discourse, through debate, through, you know, discussion about the ideas, that the refinement process for you continues with the interjection and interaction with other people. And the ideas, some of the ideas you're presenting are pretty heavy ideas. And you, again, have, like I said, when I first started looking at some of this stuff, some of the language you've chosen to use really kind of brings these ideas into sharp focus. So it's that refining process, is that, you know, getting down to the bare essentials, the bare bones of something, and finding just that proper language, as you were discussing, to express those ideas. So it's something that is, there's not a lot of room necessarily for interpretation. We're going to discuss how do we apply this idea rather than what is the idea. So although what is the idea, I'm sure will still come up. And it's dense material.
Right. I mean, this is actually a lot of this information is stuff that I had initially set off to kind of put into a book that I was going to publish. But I came to this sort of understanding of myself that rather than constantly looking for some form of paradigm that was already pre-existing to wrap my ideas into, I would instead use all of the paradigms and let it be its own, you know, let it be its own development, let it be a new paradigm, so to speak. One that's necessarily not dependent upon religious behavior, but it draws very heavily from the actual lessons that we take away from religions, which is, you know, in essence, all religion has ever been is a way to encode a certain way of thinking for whatever set group of people thought that way during that period in time. So, you know, of course, some of the ideas become over-fantasized or are made to appear to be on a much different level than what they really are. There seems to be more distance between the words supernatural and natural in our minds than what really exists in what's real, in real-world phenomenon. I mean, something that's supernatural is just something that happens I don't know, in an extremely natural kind of random state, one that's not necessarily predictable. You know, you could call hurricanes, what, 400 years ago, a supernatural event, right?
Right, when it's not understood, when it's assumed that it's, you know, the will of the gods or the anger of the gods or whatever, it would be considered a supernatural event. And now we recognize it as just a natural event.
Right, it's exactly it. And I think that all things are really like that. I mean, when I chuckle sometimes when people talk about whether or not there's a God, because in my mind, you know, there has to be, but not in the sense that everybody thinks. I mean, I've said this many times on the news. There's a little article you'll actually find on Eminent Mind about, you know, supreme being. But, you know, the definition of God, as far as I know it, is all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful. Well, that leaves only one thing that a God can be, right? All things.
Right on.
So, you know, this is actually the way that I got away with joining the Freemasons when I did, because one of the questions that they ask is, you know, do you believe in a supreme being? And I got to thinking to myself, well, that really depends on what you mean by that word, supreme being. And to me...
Your last bit, TC, real quick, your last bit you cut out. So I don't know if it was just on my end, but... Maybe nobody, I don't know if anybody heard you.
Okay, well, what I was saying was that this is how I got away with actually joining the Freemasons, because, you know, the supreme being bit, one of the questions that they ask is, do you believe in a supreme being? Well, I got to thinking about, you know, the fact that it depends on what you mean by supreme being. So, I don't know if that was a little clearer, but I'm trying to catch up with all the chat that's going on there. If anybody has, any commentary or anything, feel free to call in. It's 347-989-1371. In the meantime, I thought maybe we would take a little look at something that I haven't finished up really writing about, but I thought it was kind of cool, the way that I've laid out the Enneagram of the seven cosmoses, which you can actually kind of, you can find a rough outline just a couple posts below that on what each of these particular points are of the Enneagram. But the thing that I thought was really neat about this was the fact that I could find a lot of real connections between things, like the fact that the state of being or man, he's affected by both the microcosm and the world around him, and he's directly connected to the universe, but he can only view the macrocosm. He can only look out unto it. It's not that he's not actually intertwined with it, but that from his perspective, it is literally the other side of the mirror, so to speak. I don't know if you have, I don't know if you've really had a chance to take a look at that Enneagram. If you had any thoughts on it, but I'd be happy to hear them.
Well, I think it outlines a structure. It outlines a system that you can use to start kind of thinking about your experiences and thinking about the reality around you. And it lends itself in so many ways to so many different forms. I mean, I think we've talked about this, that there's these number of points that other, you know, other groups, other organizations use similar, you know, symbols or similar structures. You know, they wire it a little bit differently, but to refer to the same sort of set of ideas. So this Enneagram is something that we see repeated over and over again in different systems. This just seems to be one of the more, it's since the whole thing that we're doing is very fourth way related, it just seems to be the thing most directly drawn from the fourth way. But looking at the way that it's broken down and the way that you're applying it, again, it just seems like it's something that, you know, you can either, it either applies to macrocosm or microcosm. It can go one way or the other, and it has flexibility as a symbol.
Yeah, and I think as a symbol, it's also one that has been ignored, at least on the level of real occult studiers or practitioners. I mean, we all know that there's these guys out there that turned it into this whole personality system and made some kind of a self-help gimmick out of it. But that's not the purpose of why Gurdjieff was teaching this symbol in the first place. And if you actually get the chance to check out Beelzebub's Tales to His Grandson, if you can sit through the 980-something pages and really read through it, and the way that I've found that it works best to do that is not to go, what does he mean? But just continue to read, because he tells you what he means the further you go along. It's almost as if, it was designed in such a way that if you strain too hard, you wouldn't get it. You just had to kind of relax and, you know, observe yourself and kind of place yourself into his shoes as he's talking, you know, to become the narrator, so to speak.
Right, and all this information, including the information you're presenting on Eminent Mind, it lends itself to a person to use, to draw from, to look to. You know, certain pieces are going to stick out, and other things are going to be very muted. And it's a matter of just taking the things that, again, being the sly man, taking the things that work best for you, taking those different ideas, and if you see something that you want to explore further, that you want to kind of develop, then you run with it. Now, there isn't necessarily a right answer, because as you said with the quote that you started the show with, any truth, any search for truth basically leads to the same direction, basically leads to the same conclusion. That you can't pursue truth and end up with different answers, end up with different ideas.
Even if it seems like your ideas are different, when you really compare and contrast them, it's a matter of the language usually that's being used to express them that's different, not the core of the idea itself. Or so that's the way that I've come to kind of take it. I guess maybe I was still a little underprepared for doing this, but like I said, I've just come to a point where it's time to start getting people to, you know, really give me feedback, really challenge my ideas. If you think that I've you think I've posted something up and it's utter horse shit, then, you know, tell me why so that I can figure it out for myself. Don't worry that I'm going to somehow be offended by it. You know, I deal with characters like Jason here all the time. Minds that are sharper than my own, and they're more than willing to tell me when I'm full of shit, so...
Well, I know that one of the terms that stuck out to me when you were first putting this together was the psychonautic alchemy, and I wanted to know if you could kind of go into a little bit more detail about that particular term, what that means, and what you're trying to express. JC?
I guess it helps if I'm talking with the mic unmuted.
So psychonautic alchemy, what can you tell us about that?
Well, it's actually xenomorphic alchemy was the actual term that I used. And the idea behind it was that through use of strange ideas, through studying notions that seem foreign or weird and out there that you could actually learn something. And I divided it in actually two sections. One was the psychonautic aspect, and the other was the cosmonautic aspect. And the divide between them has to kind of be approached at the same. You can't, do all of your growing, towards the inside and think you've actually gotten anywhere. People who are naturally introverted tend to have trouble interrelating with people, and people who are extroverted seem to have trouble understanding what it is that they truly are feeling. And so, the idea was that you would, take, and I do actually have a system that I've been working on and should be up in the next couple of days, a four-point approach, much like what, you would have in regular alchemy, where there's the blackening, the yellowing. I'm trying to remember the other terms that are used. I guess I could go to my notes and look, but there are four stages when going through normal alchemy, and I kind of based the idea off of those stages. I wanted all of my concepts to encompass everything that I've ever studied, so it's difficult for me to really reform this at this point, but the idea behind the xenomorphic alchemy was by placing ideas, these strange ideas, into a fire and taking a look at what actually comes out of that fire, and using it to help develop yourself both inwardly and outwardly. You begin to have a better sense of what's really going on around you. I know for myself, maybe I'm a solipsist in the term that, LaVey used it, but for myself, knowing how I feel about something makes it a lot easier for me to recognize that trait in somebody else when I'm talking to them.
Right on. And you kind of, is that, so that also, I think, relates to this, the article you posted here in regards to possession, doesn't it, in some way, that your ability to influence and be influenced, your ability to get into the spirit and use that spirit to move and motivate others, has to do with that kind of familiarity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They're definitely interconnected. All of the ideas, I think, are very fluid once you really wrap your mind around it. The problem that I have is that I kind of came to this understanding naturally, and so it's really hard for me to go back and reconstruct the steps that got me there for people. So, that's sort of why I'm putting it out here now, so people can ask questions. One good question could lead to 20 good articles as to, how something works a specific way in my eyes.
Now, we've talked a little bit about the Sly Man, and the Sly Man comes from the Gurdjieffian idea. From the fourth way or from his work. I don't know if this is an extension of that idea or if it's just a different direction, but you talk about the dark force, and that makes use of the study of the xenomorphic alchemy. What does the dark force differ from the Sly Man, and how so?
The dark force is a Sly Man, but he's a Sly Man who has set out to create a larger scale change. If you look at how I've broken down my understanding of levels of thinking, those are actually what I call the cosmos. Is you can think on a microscopic level, you can think on a physical level, you can think on a worldly level, and you can think on a solar system level, a cosmic level, a macrocosmic level, universal level. You can think on all of these different levels, but it's very difficult for somebody who exists within a particular level, like ourselves, we exist within the level of being. For us to influence something that happens within the actual solar system at this point is literally impossible. But what we can inflict change upon, and that should be pretty evident in that Enneagram diagram, what we can inflict change upon is both the microcosm and the world. So the being can directly influence the world, which is just a level above it. Now, the Dark Horse, he's trying to get something done in the same way that Gurdjieff talked about doing otherwise on some grand scale. But he realizes that the way to that is not to claim yourself high poobah or, you know, grand master this or that and start some cult, but rather through a more sly means of implanting or possessing people with the spirit of these ideas. So that's what the Dark Horse actually does. The Dark Horse uses these particular archetypes that we're all familiar with to kind of give himself an understanding of what the vices are and the thinking of the people around him are, so that he can begin to influence them in one particular way or the other. Like, you wouldn't come to a group of Satanists and, you know, start talking to them about Islam. You're just not going to get real far, usually, you know. You might talk to them instead about fascism, or you might talk to them about the Order of Nine Angles, and you might use language that's specific to those particular ideologies and is popular within that culture. And through understanding that language and actually moving your ideas in that language to them, you can begin to kind of, you know, develop things. I mean, we've all seen this actually happen with the ONA or Jason King, for instance. You know, the idea of the current. I can't really remember anybody talking about things in an aspect of the current prior to Jason King coming onto YouTube. And I can't think of anybody talking about MEMS or memplexes before the ONA came along. So you see, these ideas can actually, you know, they can be infected, so to speak.
And then the idea here, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but by developing these linguistic tools, by developing let's say, a technical jargon, although it's a little bit more involved than that, the issue isn't necessarily it's not to dilute what's going on, but there is some distinction between what we're talking about and what's commonly practiced and called the fourth way today, and it's basically picking up on the foundation of Gurdjieff and others and building building something or building a different in a direction, or looking at it and going at it from a different route. All, you know, still going towards the same point basically, but trying to get there through the ways that are familiar to us, through that sort of self-indulgent, self-responsible Satanist kind of mentality. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Sorry, dude. I'm getting used to clicking this mic on and off, so it's taking me a second to come along. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. The idea is to build on these foundations. I mean, there's some things that I don't think that people really realize, and we talked about this in our show prior on Gurdjieff that you and I just did recently. I think that was last week or the week prior, maybe the week prior. But it's in the archive, yeah. Gurdjieff was a very left-hand path type person. If you could take what we describe as the left-hand path today and look for a prototype of that, Gurdjieff would be a perfect candidate for it. He talks, as a matter of fact, in the beginning of that Beelzebub's tales to his grandson. He talks in the very beginning about it, of the last words that his grandmother spoke to him, which was that either do nothing at all or do something different than everybody else does. And this was a very prominent thing in his mind from boyhood on. He intentionally did things differently because this is what his grandmother told him to do. And because of this, he pushed himself out of the same grain that was there. And I want to go back here real quick because Betty's in the chat room correcting me on something. And the idea of the mem or the memplex was not propagated or introduced by the ONA, but most of our listeners here probably had never heard the words before they started reading stuff posted by members of the Order of Nine Angles. So for the purposes of this show, that's a good enough place to start. Obviously, you could do some research and find out that the idea of the mem is actually, I think, isn't that a Dawkins thing, if I remember right, or maybe even a Darwin thing?
I'm not sure exactly where the term came from, but I know that in our circles, in the different groups that we interact with, it definitely is related to, or definitely is being, was propagated by members of the ONA or that kind of thing. It's not that the word didn't already exist, but the ONA made it popular in our vernacular, in our particular circles.
Right on. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that real quick, but. So the Dark Horse again, his goal, he's got a goal. He's got a refined aim. He seeks to change something above his level. Now, this Slime Man does not necessarily have to want to do something for the greater good. The Slime Man, I think, would be closer to what we all kind of picture as being the prototypical Satanist, But the Dark Horse is one that's actually more in the mindset of doing something on a higher level.
Right, more purpose-driven, not just necessarily thinking of self in immediate terms, but thinking of self in a long-term kind of mindset.
Damn it all, if this buttons would actually just work right, that would be awesome. But, so here we are, 13 minutes left. I've done as much talking about this as I can think to do right off of hand. It's out there. Yeah, I'd love feedback from everybody. I think Zach's going to be calling back in a couple minutes, so we'll... wait until Zach actually gets there to talk about things. But in the meantime, if there are any questions or anything like that, 347-989-1371. And I think we can talk about whatever you want to talk about now, man. We've got 12 minutes left, so.
Well, I wanted to actually read something from one of your posts that kind of really defines the spirit of what you've got going on with Eminent Mind. That esoteric knowledge demands its initiates to seek understanding. No faith is required. Faith of any kind is opposed to the growth of it. An initiate must satisfy himself of the truth of what he is told. Until he is satisfied, he must not act. Teachers require faith, promising they will bring you to a place of understanding. So often, though, we are brought to a place that is opposite of where we thought to end up. There are many reasons why this has come to be. The teacher may think that he knows something, when in reality he knows nothing. He might have been taught by another teacher, who in his turn was mistaken. He may deceive consciously. Those are only some of the more dramatic reasons for this to have arrived. For even under the right teachings from an honorable teacher, the initiate must still come to the understanding and give it merit. And that's something that's drawn heavily from Gurdjieff himself. And in my interactions with a number of Gurdjieff groups, including the Gurdjieff Foundation, it's missing, I think, from what they're doing. Because at least through my interactions, it hasn't been a matter of, read this, pick from it for yourself, and apply it in the way that you see fit. It's more of, this is what Gurdjieff said, so now this is the ultimate authority. Which, reading Gurdjieff, I don't get that from Gurdjieff. I get Gurdjieff always saying, figure it out for yourself. If it makes sense to you, use it. If it doesn't make sense to you, use it. So I think Eminent Mind is an opportunity for more people who, if they're interested in this kind of thought process, if they're interested in this kind of exercise, to definitely build on these ideas, to kind of pull from what you've got going on, and to add to it, and hopefully engage in this mutual development of self and one another.
That is absolutely the idea behind this. The development of a conscious school, again, is something that we had been talking about for a long time. But the problem that I always came to was that I didn't want to be anybody's teacher, so to speak. That was one of the hardest things that I had going for me during my stay at the Cult of Cthulhu, is that, you know, when I would get these emails of people asking me basically to, do their homework for them and you know, guide them blindly, I just felt wrong. I mean, how can you call something, a self-focused or self-driven thing when you're, basically just taking, instruction from somebody who you feel has some knowledge above you? And that's what I was trying to actually, put forth in that post, so.
Right on. And I think it's important that, it's no longer, you're not looking for students. You're not looking for followers. You're looking for like-minded people to whatever degree of experience they have, to whatever level of development. If somebody comes along with more experience, you definitely want to hear from those people so that you can learn from them. But you can just as easily learn from people who have no experience, who look at what you're saying and put a spin on it that you didn't expect. But, have a view on it that comes from an angle that's totally outside your realm of experience. And even that can teach you things. So I definitely, when I'm reading it, I look through it, and every time I read something from it, there's another idea that kind of clicks with me that makes me want to explore it further, and I'm learning things with every read-through.
Right, and I'm hoping that eventually I'll have a, not just myself contributing to this, but I'm hoping that there will be a set of people who have taken the initiative to actually, think about how to get to that higher level of consciousness. And then from there, they'll be contributing as well, and I'll gain the same benefit. I know, just from reading posts that you've made or, things that other people have kind of put out there, I've picked up quite a bit myself. I consider myself to forever be a student. I don't think I'll ever stop learning. There will always be a new trick in the bag,
Right on.
So, eminentmind.info, you folks haven't clicked on the little link in the description yet, definitely click on it, go there, give me your feedback, talk to me. That's all I'm asking for. In the meantime, you'll find random posts from Jason when he's not posting in one of his other 20 blogs. I mean, you're, in my opinion, what Gurdjieff would describe somebody who regularly gives super effort. And that's something I haven't actually myself, been able to accomplish. I can't figure out where you get the energy for it, man. You're a prolific writer. You're constantly producing new art. I mean, I know that you spend a ton of quality time with your kids. I know that you're, tattooing from probably sun up to sundown and then past them. I mean, if ever there was a candle, that was always burning hot, it's you, man.
There's a process, man. There's definitely a process to what I do. And you get into a routine, you get into a habit of, it's not just a matter of, I got an idea, I'm going to write about it, but I'm going to write for an hour today. I'm going to draw for, an hour today. Getting engaged in that process where it becomes routine, where it becomes habit. Of all the stuff that gets put on the internet, whether it's, on blogs or on the website or whatever, there's probably 10 things that have been thrown out. Or, like on my blogs, you see a bunch of different posts, but there are 15, 20 posts that are sitting there that have not been published because I'm still picking at those ideas. I'm still developing it. So it looks prolific, but it's really a bunch of stuff that's just been sitting around for a long time that I finally take off the shelf and put out there on the stage where people can see. And if I do it on a regular enough basis, well, then it seems like, you know, there's something new coming out every week or whatever.
Right. And there's actually, I've got, I don't know, probably somewhere around 3 or 4 dozen half-written articles that haven't made their way to the front page of Eminent Mind yet. So I understand that process that you're talking about. It's still, the level of output in comparison to my own, it's just awesome. So, you know, you'll need to just, I guess, excuse me. I spend a lot of time, though, trying to figure out what it is that I want to do next. And I know I probably shouldn't be going after what I want so much, but it's an old habit that's hard to break.
I think a lot about, you know, what I want to do next and what's going to happen. But, you know, part of the thinking process for me is actually doing it. You know, I'll be doing something as like, is this what I want to do? Is this what... it's just working out, you know, and it is. It's, like I said, I just, you know, as an artist, you know, for every one piece of artwork I put out, there's probably 10, 15, 20 sketches that never leave the sketchbook that, you know, and twice that just gets erased before it's even, you know, developed into something.
Right.
So it's a process.
You know, one of the things I think that I should mention before the show actually runs out, this website, eminentmind.info, this is my dark horse. This is my contribution to the greater good, so to speak. I hate using that term, but I'm putting this out there. I realize that there are probably few that are even interested beyond, you know, a couple of quick glances. But for those of you that do stick around, you're who I'm looking for to connect with anyways. You're the whole reason that I came onto the internet in the first place. So,
I guess, real quick, though, on that same note, this is replacing, or this is going to be your new site, and Fear the Beast is going away. Is that right?
Yeah, it's gone. As a matter of fact, all I have left to do is just change the user accounts that I registered with that email address, and then after that, it's done. I mean, the bill comes up on the 18th, and I don't plan on paying it. So.
Okay. So at some point down the road, and you and I are still working on this, we're going to try to pull the artwork as much as possible from, you know, whatever files you have available, and then we're going to build the page, your page, with the, I mean, similar gallery to the galleries we have for my page and for Vanessa's page on Creative Body Studios. So your artwork, I still want to make sure that artwork is available to people up on the internet. And I don't know if you're planning on posting your poetry someplace, maybe having a separate blog or something that you collect your poems in or something. I don't think that should go away either.
My artwork, I'm going to forward everything to you, and the poetry itself, I do have another fucking .blogspot blog somewhere. I think it's the Twisted Beast one. I think that's where that'll end up at.
So
the poetry will
go ahead.
Go for it.
I was going to say, we already have one of your prints, Lou Zid, which is very cool artwork, a lot of digital effects going on, and we already have one of those prints available for, I think, like $14.99, along with the other prints that we have available, and I'm excited about building up that print section with more than just my artwork, so we're looking forward to getting all those files, you know, converted and everything, up on the website on Creative Body Studios.
Right on. And I'm going to start going through my external hard drive, hard drives, plural, this week and get try to get the image as well as the PSD files to you. So that way you can change the sizing however you need without distorting the actual compression of the file. So it is what it is, man. Tomorrow night we're talking about, what are we talking about tomorrow night?
I think we're talking about weird comic book superheroes, and what got me going on this was the issue between Foreskin Man and Captain Israel. That's what kicked me off on this. So if you don't know the story about Foreskin Man and Captain Israel, you want to check out tomorrow night's show on the Outbreak Edition.
Rock on. And that's just about all the time we got this week, or tonight, so we'll see everybody tomorrow.
Later, later.
Thank you for listening to the Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but it's the old expression goes. Tough love. Special thanks to Dad, the Rocky Aroma, for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is a Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?